Great. Good morning. I would like to call the meeting of the Legislative Committee for BACMED to order at 8:32 a.m. And this meeting will be conducted under procedures authorized by Executive Order N2920, issued by Governor Gavin Newsom. Members of the Board of Directors may participate by teleconference. The public may observe this meeting through the webcast of the meeting by clicking the link available on the Air District's agenda website webpage. For the meeting available at www.bacmed.gov/bodagendas. Public comments on agenda items and non-agenda matters for this meeting may be submitted by email to comments@bacmed.gov. Please indicate the agenda item to which your emailed comment is addressed, and we will take a roll call, please.
On the roll for the Legislative Committee meeting of April 15th, 2020. And again, I'm only going to call the names of the committee members. I recognize that there are other board members on the Zoom call, but the only ones who may participate are the ones I'm about to call on right now. So Director Bowders.
Here.
Director Canepa. I don't see him yet or hear him yet. Director Cutter.
Present.
Director Joya.
Here.
Director Haggerty.
Here.
Director Hurt.
Present.
Director Ju.
Here.
Director Mitchoff.
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Wagon Connect.
Here.
Committee Chair Abe Koga.
Here.
Board Chair Sinks.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great, thank you. We will go on to item two, consideration of new bills, and Mr. Abs.
Good morning, everyone. Chair Abe Koga and members of the committee. Just to let everyone know, I have a dog laying right next to me. So if she barks and all of a sudden I get up for a moment, that's what I'm doing. I'm putting her outside. So thanks for getting together early this morning to go over some bills and just to give everyone the landscape of what we're looking at right now. So as you're all aware, the legislature went into an early recess somewhere around March 16th. And in March and April would normally be the times that the legislature would have all their committee hearings. And actually by this date, we'd be getting close to the first cycle where bills had to be out of their initial committees and then sent to appropriations before they went to either the Senate floor or the Assembly floor. Everything is a little bit in flux right now with what's going to happen to bills going forward. What we've heard is that on the Senate and the Assembly side, the committee chairs for all the different committees have sent emails to members that have bills that may appear in their committees, asking them to prioritize their bills and make a case why some of their bills should move forward under a future compressed cycle. And what we've heard is that bills that have a public health component to them, or a wildfire component, or a PSPS component, or a specific COVID-19 component would probably get more favorable treatment moving forward. And then bills that didn't specifically address those items, or bills that had other budget requirements, would be looked at less favorably. And so that's what's been put out to the individual senators and assembly members. And right now it's sort of up to them to self identify which bills they'd like to propose to move forward. And we've already heard that some of the bills, that actually some of the bills that we'd be talking about today will likely be pulled and not be heard this year. So when we come to those bills, I'll just mention that and we can move on. Right now, the legislature is scheduled to come back in session around May 4, but again, that date is probably going to rely on what's happening on a statewide basis, either through the governor's office or individual regions. I see Director Ju's cat has taken over the screen.
I may have to vote by proxy here. A tail wag means aye.
So So we're just having this quick meeting to go over some of the bills, just to get initial support or opposed positions on them. And what that'll do is that'll help us as these bills either move forward or get held. That'll at least give us a little bit of ability to go in and talk about potential amendments or opposition to those bills. And then next week for the April 22nd legislative committee meeting, we can have a more full discussion about what's happening on the state budget level and some of the things that are happening at the federal level, as well as go through any of the other bills that I haven't recommended for any positions on. So with that, unless there are any questions, I can go into some of our recommended positions. Okay, so the first set of bills would be smog check exemption bills, and that's Assembly Bill 1972 by Assemblymember Vapel and Assembly Bill 2225 by Assemblymember Grayson. Those bills, I was informed yesterday, they're not going to be moving forward this year. Both assembly members have opted to pull those bills from consideration for this year. They'll probably show up again next year, but at least for this year, we won't need to take a position or discuss those. So the next set of bills are the backup generator exemption bills. As far as we know, all these bills are. In the wildfire PSPS category, and in what we've heard is that all four of those bills are, at least the authors have proposed to continue moving those bills forward. And so I'll talk about AB 2182 a little bit more in depth than the others, but the other three are similar to 2182 and accomplish the same thing. So AB 2182 is a bill that is sponsored by the water agencies, and it does a couple things. It would create an exemption from air quality laws for backup diesel generators in a couple different ways. And the first way would exempt critical facilities, which they include to be water districts, wastewater districts, some emergency services, police, fire. They create a broad category of what they call critical facilities. And any emergency diesel generator used to support those facilities would have some certain exemptions from air quality law. One of those exemptions would be an exemption of maintenance and testing hours. And so regardless of the age of the generator or the location of the generator, if it was used for a critical service, they would basically allow themselves additional maintenance and testing hours that would be beyond what the Air Resources Board or the local air districts would allow based on local health risks. And the other exemption that they provide themselves would be an unlimited hourly usage during an actual emergency. So the unlimited hour usage during the actual emergency, that's for the Bay Area District. That is not as much of a concern because our permits in general allow for unlimited usage during emergencies. And as long as that emergency loss of power is not due to the facility owner not paying his or her electric bill, then when the power goes out, the generators are allowed to operate. But the unlimited maintenance and testing hours, it would be a concern to us, especially given that what triggers those maintenance and testing hours would be a notification from a investor-owned utility or electricity provider that they're considering having a PSPS event. And so, as everyone knows, right now the utilities have to provide us a certain window in advance of when that PSPS event might occur. And the proponents of this bill and some of the other bills would like their unlimited maintenance and testing to basically start upon notification that there's a potential PSPS event. And so if PG&E, for example, were to give a 96-hour window for a PSPS event, then that facility that had an exemption would basically be able to start running their emergency generator for that 96 hours in advance if they chose to prior to that actual emergency. And so that's a concern for us. So the proponents of this bill and other bills, what they're really worried about, and it seems to be a solution in search of a problem, is they have this idea in their head that that as these PSPS events become the new normal, that local air districts are going to either start fining facilities that operate emergency diesel generators, or they're going to tell these facilities that they have to shut down in the middle of an emergency, and so that we would actually show up at a site and tell them to turn off their emergency diesel generator at a water treatment plant or wastewater treatment plant. But the proponents have never actually documented an instance where an air district in California has fined someone for operating during an emergency or has caused a facility to shut down during an emergency for. And so the exemptions that they're requesting are really a solution in search of a problem. And so the California Air Resort or the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association has already sent opposition letters for these four bills, and as well as the South Coast Air Quality Management District. And so AB 2182 deals with essential service providers. Senate Bill 802, Senator Glazer's bill, is specific to hospitals and healthcare facilities, but has the same effect of asking for exemptions from air quality laws for maintenance and testing hours and emergency hours. So it's really just the same concept. SB 1099 by Senator Dodd is similar to AB 2182 in that it identifies critical service providers for these exemptions, but it goes a step further it would mandate that air districts change their rule books to basically take out any authority they've given themselves to issue permits for those service providers and to charge permit fees. And so it would actually take that exemption a step further by eliminating any ability to permit those facilities. And then SB 1185 from Senator Morlock would do the same thing as the other three bills, except it targets natural gas generators instead of specifically emergency diesel generators. So with that, I'll answer any questions that the committee has about this topic.
Okay. I raised my hand. I don't know how we're doing this. This is Pauline Cutter. So I do represent EBDA, which is the East Bay Discharges Association. And we are concerned about, during the fire season last year and stuff, the generators, because it's a small agency. It has five members, and replacing the generators is one of the hugest costs that just can't be borne yet. So we're trying to figure out how to slowly replace these generators so we don't have a worry that they are going to be, polluting and so forth, because that's not where we're at. But I'm wondering how we can work with them a little bit more. I understand about PG&E, the bigger agencies and stuff. I think some of this was due to the fear of the smaller agencies that they were going to get caught in the middle somehow. And so I don't know if you can address that.
So there was a hearing about AB 2182 in Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife right before the legislature went in recess, and East Bay MUD was at the hearing and provided testimony. And one thing that they, which I was appreciative of, is that they were there to, I guess, lend support to the needs of the water districts, but they are also quick to point out that the relationship with the air district was very good, and they acknowledged that the air district had not fined fined them for improper usage of emergency generators or anything like that. And so this bill itself, or this bill itself really it doesn't just looks at the immediate. It doesn't look at generator turnover, but the Air District does have. We do have some programs that potentially could help East Bay MUD and other facilities to upgrade their generators to cleaner generators or other types of backup power alternatives. But if someone like East Bay MUD has a permit with the district, there's a PSPS emergency, they're allowed to operate that generator with unlimited usage during that emergency. And I think that's the most important thing to take out of this right now.
Okay, thank you, Jess. East Bay MUD was not really my whole concern. It was East Bay Dischargers. Smaller agency. I'm concerned with the smaller agencies of this cost being borne by them, but thank you for that explanation.
Okay. So there's Tyrone, Karen, Brad up next.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Alan. So, one of the concerns I have is just if we look at this from our air quality perch and the impacts of this bill on our ability to improve air quality, right? So when you kind of look at some of the facilities that are included in this, right, let's just take wastewater facilities in general. We know that pretty much every single one of those is located in one of the areas of concern that we have. And the disproportionate impact from those facilities would necessitate that we would want to move in a direction we want to improve air quality. So can you speak from that point of view that while this takes away a lot of our abilities or regulatory ability on the generators, how does that work and how does that impact us on an air quality standpoint?
So that's a good question. For us, with respect to this bill and these and the other bills, we issue permits for backup generation that rely on, among other things, the statewide air toxic control measure. And basically, what that does is it looks at the age of the diesel generator and the pollution controls on that diesel generator and the size of the diesel generator. And based on those factors and how close they are to sensitive communities, we allow them a certain amount of maintenance and testing hours. And so the cleaner the engine, the farther away it is from sensitive receptors, the more hours of maintenance and testing they're going to be able to have, but still unlimited operation during the actual emergency. And so giving an exemption which would up the allowed amount of maintenance and testing hours, in some cases it's going to have a pretty big impact if there's community nearby that we would otherwise not want to provide a huge amount of maintenance and testing hours. And so that is a good point.
All right, going on to Karen. Can you unmute yourself, Karen?
Thank you, Alan. My question relates to both Assembly, Senators Glazer and Dodd. Obviously, we represent constituents in their district, and on the previous bills relative to Grayson, Glazer and Dodd, have we reached out to them to let them know, in addition to these letters that are going out, have you and or Jack or the appropriate staff reached out to them and said, hey, wait a minute, as you just said, this is a solution in search of a problem?
So on all these bills, we've met with both myself and the South Coast Air District, other air districts, the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association. We've met with the various supporters of the bills, as well as the bill authors' offices. And so we've met with Senator Dodd's office, Senator Glazer's office on several occasions, with the Hospital Association, with the Water Districts Association, and in some instances.
So what are Glazer's and Dodd's response when you say, hey, this is a bill that really doesn't need to go forward because these concerns have already been addressed or the protections are already in place?
Well, and so the supporters of the bill, so the hospital association or the water districts, you know, their response would be, well, we just want to make sure that we don't get fined or we don't get shut down in the future. And so I'm not sure, really sure that their response addresses, you know, what is on the ground in reality, but, you know, we're just at odds about what the, you know, what the, you know, future impacts would be.
And I get that, but I guess I'm more into what Dodd and Glazer are saying. Obviously, they're still listening to those folks. Why do you think they're not believing you?
If I can weigh in, I think they are just trying to protect themselves for if there's going to be many years of the PSPS. I think that's largely what they're trying to do. And we've explained that we're not intending to change our practices. And so we allow for these backup generators to be operating in an emergency. We understand.
So it really doesn't matter if these bills go through. I mean, is there any adverse impact on the air district?
Not so much the air district, but certainly we're worried about the air quality impacts. That's what.
And Tyrone was mentioning that earlier too. So. Right. If we already have these protections in place, but they still feel they need it, there would be some occasion in the future where the Air Board could lower a hammer, so to speak, given when we're concerned about air pollution?
Well, as I indicated, we would not take a different approach for future wildfire events or other events that trigger the PSPS. And so we've explained that to both the author's staff and those organizations that are driving this as well. So
it could be other emergency operations as I'm looking at the bill again. So it's not just PFPSs or whatever we call them.
Right, right. I think going forward, it really makes sense for us to communicate with these organizations that are driving these bills and assure them of the of how we've operated in the past, and we're going to continue to do that as well.
I guess I'm just concerned that the senators aren't listening to our side too, that they seem to be more willing to accept the arguments by the others, but I'll let it go then. Thank you for the answer.
But if I would just say then, Director Mitchoff, that's why we're recommending that we oppose, because I think then they'll listen.
Okay.
Speaks.
Thank you.
Great. Next, Vice Chair Wagon Connect.
Well, you may have answered my question, but you know, it appears that we're just going straight for a pose, and the issue that Alan has described to us is the issue of the testing during those, you know. Because the rest of our rules aren't going to change. It's the testing. So I guess why wouldn't we do a pose unless amended?
And so our in our amendments would address maintenance and testing.
Yeah. Limit that. You know, somewhat. You know, because that was the door that you were talking about that was being thrown wide open.
Right, and so I guess we could do that, I think the, you know, the proponents of these bills would look at. I think maintenance and testing and being able to run some of these engines unlimited, you know, upon notice without the actual PSPS event, you know, seems to be one of the things that they're really shooting for, because in some of these parts of the state there's really old backup generators that they're using down in other parts of the state. And so I mean, we could certainly do an oppose unless amended on the maintenance and testing hours, which would deal with our concerns. but I don't see the supporters, you know, changing the bill as a result of that, but we could certainly give that a shot.
Can I say something here? I think part of the issue is what an emergency is. We have a lot of situations where companies, because of lack of maintenance of something, have a power outage. We investigate it's because they didn't do something. And they run their backups. And in those cases, that could be because it's not caused by, you know, some sort of natural act or something beyond their control, that is a violation. So we want to make sure that that's still covered, that these companies can't do something without, you know, don't do maintenance on part of their power system, and then have to run their emergency generators and cause a lot of air pollution. So that's another part, along with the testing issue. Unlimited testing is a big issue for us.
So you think the stronger position is to take a pose and then start the conversation with that. That's the 2x4 over the head, and then start the conversation.
But well, I think all the in the conversations we've had, everyone understands that the air districts in general throughout the state are opposed to the idea of providing this exemption. And so the bills themselves are all pretty early in terms of their committees and in the process moving forward. And so I think an opposed position at this point. And then as the bills move forward, if the sponsors, you know, want to get these bills done, they'll have to make some amendments to get them to the finish line. And that's when we can start talking about, you know, what would be good for us versus, you know, other proponents.
Thank you.
And we have Board Chair Sinks.
Thank you. We all, I think, recognize the need for backup power in the face of continuing PSPS events. And I'm just wondering if there are any bills that are trying to address this from a positive perspective, looking at, you know, alternatives, which could be batteries and or hydrogen plus, you know, running in the existing gas pipelines at some ratio, things that would actually move us forward rather than simply insist that we run the damn old fossil fuel diesel generators. Alan, is there any effort underway, or do you think there could be a constructive approach we could take to suggest an alternative that would address the need for backup power over days?
There's one bill, which is the Climate Catalyst Fund. So that was part of the governor's climate change budget. I'm not sure if that bill is going to be moving forward given other budget constraints the state has right now. But that Catalyst Fund was one way to provide loan guarantees for things like cleaner sources of power, which would have been one option. Would have been close to what the district currently does with our clean tech program. And then there's another bill which we would have talked about later today, the SB 1122 green electrolytic hydrogen, but that bill has also been pulled for this year and would probably come back next year.
I for my part, and maybe this is something for Jack, you to think about between legislative advocacy and programs, it sure be great if we could propose or support, you know, positive initiatives that would really speak to the real concerns we all have with PSPS events. While, you know, we're legitimately opposing some of these things, it'd be good if we were taking the lead in proposing solutions would address the issue with at a lower air quality impact, not to mention climate. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Great, thank you. We have a few more bills to go through, and it's can you do them in 5 minutes or less, Alan?
I will give it a shot. So the next bill looks like on the list is AB 2792, mobile fueling on-demand tank vehicles. And so this is a bill by Assemblymember Quirk. It is, as what I've heard is that the bill is supposedly, or the bill's author and the sponsors intend to continue moving the bill forward. And what this bill does is there's a business model out there which strives to provide like a app-based solution to gas stations. And so so you load up an app on your phone, or your employer has a benefit for you if you work at like a office park or office campus, and in a truck, a gasoline truck will come to where your car is and fuel up your car so that you avoid having to go to a gas station. Under existing state law, gas and operations where motor vehicles are fueled are traditional local air district, under local air district authority. And mobile sources, the actual vehicles, are under CARB's authority. What this bill seeks to do is to take mobile fueling tank vehicles out of local air district authority, so that we wouldn't be allowed to do a permit, do inspections, and instead would allow them to get an over-the-counter certificate of operation from CARB, and then they'd be allowed to provide this service throughout the state with minimal oversight. And so CARB would be able to charge a low-cost certification fee, but then as a result of that, and also taking away local air district authority would basically allow them to operate throughout the state with minimal oversight. And so one of the issues that local air districts would have is the ability to condition a permit to a business like this to make sure that that we aren't allowing these pop-up gas stations to happen near sensitive receptors like schools, near healthcare facilities, in places where a local land use authority probably would not want to have a gas station in operation. And so we've like the other bills, we've met several times with the author's staff about this. We've also had conversations with the bill's supporters, and we're just in general opposed to the concept of taking this this type of operation out from local air district oversight and basically allowing a certification program in lieu of actual regulation.
Any questions on that bill? Nope. Great.
Okay, and going down the list, so the next one, this is a quick one, AB 2498 from Assemblymember Chu. I haven't heard for sure whether this bill is moving forward yet or not, but it what it would do is it looks at wildfire smoke impacts and would have the California Interscholastic Federation, which is basically high school and junior high coaches. It would require them to come up with a wildfire smoke policy that could be implemented at schools to determine when and how kids would do recreational sports activities during school time. And so it actually force school coaches to work with their local schools, principals, superintendents, local air districts to develop a way to determine whether kids should actually be out, running around and playing sports during a given day. So we would support this concept. It's in line with the other wildfire smoke activities that we've been doing over the last couple of years.
Questions? Nope. Next, please.
Okay, so the next one is AB 3217 from Assemblymember Gloria. So he calls this the Know Your Oil Act. And so what it does is it would look at, it does two things. It looks state oil production, and it also looks at refinery oil activities, and would, and it, and it basically requires crude oil assays for in-state and at refineries to determine the greenhouse gas and low carbon fuel standard inventories of the emissions related to that crude oil production. And so I think this actually fills a little gap that we have in terms of you know, the life cycle analysis of the oil in state versus coming from out of state. And so right now, I don't know for sure if this bill is moving forward, but it seems like a good bill to support and work with the author to see if it does in fact move forward.
Any questions on that item? Nope.
Okay. And so the next bill is a bill that we've had a request from Senator Bell for a support position on. It relates to backup generators. And so this bill looks at it in terms of data centers and the CEQA requirements of those backup generators. And so right now, if a facility wants to do a backup power system for a data center, typically these backup power facilities are pretty large, you know, greater than 50 megawatts. And so under existing state law, the California Energy Commission would be responsible for being the lead agency of that CEQA process. And which is a bit strange because the CEC is also typically only is the authority for you know, power plants that are actually connected to the grid. And so these backup power facilities for data centers are not connected to the grid, and therefore, you know, technically the CEC wouldn't normally have the CEQA lead agency responsibility for that. And so what this bill would seek to do is to relieve the CEC of that responsibility, which would apparently save the state some money for that CEQA analysis. And instead it would devolve that down to a local land use agency that would be that CEQA lead agency. And so right now I think we still have some concerns about what that would actually mean in practice. The CEC is experts at energy generation. Even though these data center backup power systems are not connected to the grid, you know, I think the CEC has shown that they have some expertise in doing these CEQA analyses and working with the air district on the air quality analyses. And I think the CEC would also have a little bit more of a little bit more authority if we were to look at cleaner forms of backup power at some of these facilities in the future. And we have a concern that if this responsibility is devolved down to the local agency, that either the level of expertise might not be as high, or the heft that local agency or that local land use agency would be able to have in convincing a facility to go with a cleaner source of power might not be as strong as the CEC. And so right now I would just recommend that we not take a position and that we keep working with the author's office if the bill moves forward to try to, you know, address some of those issues a little bit more.
Great, thank you. Any questions?
Move all the staff recommendations.
And is that to pull bills 1972, 2225, and 1122, Alan, or?
And 1122, right, has been pulled, and so we don't need to worry about that one.
Okay.
Amend my motion to recommend all the staff recommendations except for the bills pulled.
Great, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that. Wagon Connect.
Great, thank you. So motion by Director Bowder, second by-
We need public comment, Madam Chair.
Oh, thank you. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on this item?
There are no public comment cards.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion?
I do need to do a roll call vote for this.
Yes, a roll call vote, please.
Hold on.
Oh. Hello? Okay.
Director Haggerty.
Oh, yes, Director Haggerty.
So, you know, I've been listening to this and I'm just not really convinced. You know, we have two legislators that usually work with us on in various areas, Glazier and Dodd. And in the response, I'm not convinced that, you know, we've worked with them enough to maybe convince them to do what we were talking about earlier, which is a positive bill. So I think what I'm going to do on 802 and 1099, I'm just going to abstain because I've never found Dodd not willing to work with somebody. And I quite frankly question how much we've tried to work with him. So I'll just abstain on 802 and 1099.
Okay. Any other comments? Discussion?
Roll call.
We'll start the roll call vote then.
Director Bowders?
Aye.
Director Canepa is not present. Director Cutter?
Abstain.
For all of
items? No, for that, the first group with the, I'm sorry, I'm losing my place here. The first group, the same as Director Haggerty.
Okay.
I'm only abstaining on 802 and 1099.
Right. Okay.
There were four bills actually there. Okay. I'm sorry.
Director Joya?
Yes.
To clarify the record, I did not hear to clarify the record, Madam Chair, point of order. I didn't hear Director Cutter say aye. So she said she's abstaining from two bills. Is she not voting on the rest of them?
I said, yes, I will vote for the rest of them, but just the two bills off.
Thank you. Director Joya?
Aye.
Director Haggerty, I have your vote. Director, okay, but go ahead and say it for the record.
Aye, abstain on 802 and 1099.
Thank you. Director Hurt?
Yes.
Director Jew?
Aye.
Director Mitchell?
I'm going to aye, except abstain on 802 and 1099 if I've got the numbers right, the same ones that Director Haggerty is abstaining on.
Okay. Director Wagon Connect?
Aye.
Committee Chair Abe Koga?
Aye.
Board Chair Sinks?
Aye.
Eyes have it, motion carries.
Great, thank you. We are moving on to, public comment on non-agenda matters. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak?
I have not received any.
Great, thank you. Item four, committee member comments, other business. I have Vice Chair Wagon Connect.
Yes. In the discussion that we had on those bills earlier, what I heard was that we were going to oppose, but we were still looking to work with them, and that's the direction that I took it from.
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Jack. That's the direction we'll take back as staff, because I'm hearing that from several of you now, that we'll oppose those bills, but we'll seek to be able to work with both Senator Dodd and Senator Glazer's office, I believe is the other one. So Alan, you and I will reach out to those offices and let them understand our position.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think you're muted.
Sorry about that. So time and place of our next meeting will be at the call of the chair, and we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, your next meeting will be on the 22nd, next week.
Thank you for that. Thanks. So-